Almost live from a very cool corner of Midtown Sacramento, it's the Nate Darling Show, featuring Mel Gelbart and Larry Mead. Now, from one end of his cheap IKEA couch, here's Nate.
And we're going to start with laughter. Very nice.
Yay.
Welcome into show number 10. Show number 10.
Wow.
That's a big deal.
They said we'd never make it this far.
They were wrong.
They haven't even heard of us yet, and they still said we wouldn't make it this far. Hi, welcome back. It's Nate, along with Larry.
Hi.
And Mel.
Hi.
What's the like traditional gift for a 10-week anniversary?
Well,
is it paper goods?
I don't think... I hate people who celebrate anniversaries when they're not on the year. And I know that's like a big thing. Chicks like to do that with relationships. Like, it's our 5-week anniversary. Mm. And no, anniversary by its very name is an annual thing every year. So
we
no.
just like excuses for you to prove how much you love us. That's and, true. You know, 1 week, just a card, a present. We have just like presents and cards and we can force you into reasons to give them to us. We do that.
And yeah. if you're a lesbian, a 10-week anniversary is really like...
It's like a miracle.
It's by that point, you've already been married and having kids. After 10 weeks is like mid-year, like a 30-year marriage in the straight yeah. world.
Wow. That's so it's there's a lesbian calendar that's different than the
well,
one
yeah,
we all know
about?
Well,
yeah, because you know the whole joke. Like, what does a lesbian bring on a second... What does a lesbian bring on her first date? A U-Haul. Because they move like they move so quickly.
I actually heard that on Curb Your Enthusiasm. Rosie O'Donnell said that yeah. on Curb.
What do gay men bring on a first date?
Lube.
No. What do gay men, what do gay men bring on a second date?
What
second date?
Oh.
Yeah, but they're guys. I don't care.
Yeah.
Don't you get it?
I liked my answer.
Well, I did too. That's pretty accurate.
There you go. Well, you shouldn't have to bring it. It should be whoever is hosting should provide the lube, right?
See, it depends. Someone on Twitter accidentally wrote something and they said lube, and I think they kept saying it, and I don't think they realized what they were saying. But it wasn't someone who I knew, so I just found it funny.
Maybe it was spell checking it. I love when that happens.
Oh, the autocorrect?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
All right. Hey, let's we got some viewer email. Viewer.
Oh, I love viewer email.
I would too if people could see us. It's listener email.
Oh, yeah.
So
they can see us with their minds.
It's true. You can close your eyes and picture us. Go ahead. Do it right now. Close your eyes. Unless you're driving, go ahead and close your eyes and picture us.
I'm 6'3", 195 pounds, and I have a chiseled body. Yeah, I wouldn't actually really like that, but.
It's chiseled in butter.
Do you wonder if people want, like, have in their minds what we look like?
Oh, yeah.
Some people. I think basically what's happened, I think a lot of our listeners know one of us, but not the other two. So I think there's a lot of sort of picturing what the other two look like.
Well, Larry looks like Ross the intern.
Yeah, a little,
so you
yeah.
can picture him. I look like the love child of Carol Burnett and Molly Ringwald.
I can see that.
Okay, if
I get that
were
that
possible.
Yeah.
And Molly Ringwald's from Sacramento.
That's true.
Her father started the Sacramento Jazz Jubilee.
And Nate, who do you look like? What do you look like?
You know, I don't really look that much like anybody. I've heard Nick Bakay before, who isn't really that famous.
I don't know who that is.
Exactly.
That sounds like someone's uncle.
He might be. One never knows. Yeah, I don't really look that much like anybody, I don't think. I mean, no one's ever gone, you look just like that guy. I got Nick Bakay. When I had a goatee, that's what I got. But I just shaved the goatee this morning, as a matter of fact.
What did you do? Remember on Facebook when it was that doppelganger thing where everyone had to put what did you put?
It was Nick Bakay.
Oh. So people were like, who is that?
Exactly. Everybody was like, who is that guy? He did a little thing for ESPN for a while. He was a writer. He's a writer by trade. And a comedian, and I think he was a writer on Sabrina the Teenage Witch.
You have to put a picture of him on the extras page.
Yes, please.
All right, fine. I'll
who did up. You have up as your doppelganger?
Carol Burnett.
That's right.
I actually have a picture of myself where I look strikingly like her.
I can totally see it.
Okay, let's get to our email. There's questions.
Questions
for us. Let's start with you then, since you're
ooh,
so excited.
Yes.
Larry,
yes.
This comes to us from John in Salinas, whose email is...
We're a big deal in Salinas.
We are. He's a big fan of us down there.
Hey, Salinas.
Where exactly is Salinas, for those of us unfamiliar with California?
It's about an hour south of San Jose, straight down the 101.
Like by Santa Cruz?
Before
yeah.
Santa Cruz.
No, well, Santa Cruz is over on the coast. Salinas is inland. It's straight down.
Modesto-ish?
No.
Okay,
no,
never mind.
It's on the other side of a set of mountains.
I'll look it up on a map.
Yeah, y'all can do it. You can Google it. You can Google map it. You can Yahoo map it.
You can Bing it.
You could Bing it if you're really feeling adventurous.
What's weird is Bing actually is a lot better, but I never go to it. I always still use Google.
But Salinas, one of the big things about Salinas is John Steinbeck. I don't know if he's from there or if he lived there, but they have a big Steinbeck festival every year. And they've got John Steinbeck's house, and it's Steinbeck this, Steinbeck that. And in certain parts of town, they have gang shootings. Anyway, moving on, Larry. Oh. It's a rainy weekend afternoon.
Yeah.
He obviously doesn't understand what Sacramento is like.
If it rains here, it's a national emergency.
It's like three weekends a year. Okay, so it's a rainy weekend afternoon, and you have the television remote in your hand. What do you hope to find as you click through the channels to make it a perfect day?
Oh, there's so many good options here. Besides the Lifetime Movie Network, which is, of course, a standard go-to, without a doubt, I have to say a movie that is constantly shown on TV that I'm amazed it's always on is Bring It On Again, which was the original sequel to Bring It On and the first of the Bring It On series, which was like Bring It On Again, Bring It On Yet Again, Bring It On High School Edition, Bring It On whatever. Bring It On Again was the first one right after it. And what makes me laugh about it is that it's loosely based on the same premise, but not really at all, because it's this white girl and this black girl who go to college together, and they go to Cal State College, also known as Cal State Northridge.
Nice.
And it's so funny how you can tell they shot it on somewhat of a limited budget, but it's actually kind of, for a straight-to-video movie, it was pretty well done. Anyway, they go to school and they don't like the cheerleading squad there, so they form their own cheerleading squad called the Renegades, and they challenge the official Stinger cheerleading team to a cheer-off to represent them at the National Cheerleading Championships. And of course, guess who wins? The Renegades.
Is that the one where the really like sallow, depressed girl is on their team?
Yes.
I've seen
who that. You know who she is, right? Does anyone here watch The Guild?
No.
No.
Oh, sorry. Then, never mind. She is actually super big. She's the creator of The Guild and the writer of The Guild.
Okay. So you're looking for that one movie. That's what you're looking for.
I get excited by that. I also can never pass up the following movies. If they're on, I will stop and watch them. A League of Their Own.
Okay.
Aaron Brockovich. Big Fish, although it's never really on, unfortunately, although it's such a good movie. And of course, I would not be a good gay man if I didn't say Steel Magnolias, which is the gayest movie in history. Oh my God, that movie is so good.
What about Beaches?
Yeah. Beaches is very good, but it's a really sad movie.
Yeah, that would make it.
Because Steel Magnolias isn't?
No, but it's uplifting because the end and the little sun's running on Easter. Do you know everyone in that town got really burned and they hated that movie? And so they filmed another movie in there a little, because being an extra sucks on a movie. And so they hated it. So they went back to film something, and they literally could not get any extras in the movie. All the town people were over it. Because you had to just sit and do nothing. And then, you know, it was really funny.
Any TV shows, like a marathon of anything in particular?
Well, I have to admit, I got sucked into Real Housewives of New Jersey. Uh-huh. Although I wasn't on my couch. I was on a plane on JetBlue and I was flying cross country. And that's a really great way to like take up 5 hours, because the flight was over before I knew it. That any kind of HGTV show, of course. I can watch Property Virgins or Buying Your House for the First Time, or any of those shows, because I find it so interesting. And then Project Runway, which now they're showing the repeats on the Style Network. Oh, I love it. It's so good. And I now am watching any kind of like reality show that's based in talent. So Project Runway, Top Chef, Top Designer.
I'm watching Top Chef Just Desserts now too.
I got sucked in.
It's
really easy. I like Gail a lot.
Yeah.
All right, Mel, here's your question.
Okay. Ooh, I'm excited to hear
it. I liked Larry's question.
Larry's question was fine, but you have a different question. What is the coolest gun you've ever fired? And have you ever shot someone?
I will answer the question, but what I will say first is, why do people think, because I was a police officer, that I'm some sort of gun-toting, redneck, backwoods survivalist person?
Like, you're not?
I'm an upper-middle-class suburban Jew, folks. I became a police officer to do good and help my community, and because I needed, you know, employment.
But you have to shoot as part of your job.
I mean, I've shot lots of guns, but for the most part, I'm not like a gun enthusiast. I don't collect guns. I had two Glocks, a regular one and a backup one. You know, basically the same gun. One was a smaller version of the other for an ankle or back holster. Because I like the Glock, you know. A lot of people carried a revolver because, you know, they say that in a crisis they don't jam and they're more reliable. But for the most part, I mean, you know, I like the H&K. I mean, there's a lot of good guns out there. But, you know, I've shot some shotguns. I've shot some rifles. I've shot a sawed-off shotgun. But I'm not, like, I haven't gone out, like, to the range like those bikini-clad machine gun women.
Oh, you don't do that in your backyard?
Come on.
Do you have one of those, like, pink guns? You know how gun stores now are trying to sell to women? And they have, like, pink and glitter guns?
My my sister-in-law, I believe my brother, did get her, like, a Smith & Wesson pink.
Yes.
Nice.
Gun. But, no, mine is just plain old black.
So you still have one now?
Yeah, I have a Glock 40 caliber, which is a great gun if you need a gun, you know.
And
no safety, so if you have kids, please lock your guns.
And part two of the question, have you ever shot somebody?
I'm not going to answer that.
Well, okay.
I'm too sober.
But you said you were going to answer the question, and then you didn't.
I didn't know there was more questions
she
coming.
Answered it. She might not have answered it how you wanted to, but
the answer is yes.
Okay.
Ooh.
That's fine. We don't need any more details than that.
Have you ever shot an Uzi?
No, I've never shot an Uzi.
Shocker, because they come in such handy.
I've never shot
officer.
An Uzi.
Whose vibrator is
going
off?
I believe that's me. My boyfriend's driving back from San Francisco, and that may be the I've got home safely call.
Oh, that's very nice. Doesn't he know we're doing the podcast now?
I did leave a message saying that, but I mean, I can check. We could talk to him now.
That's okay.
Ooh, it'd be like Dr. Laura.
Right?
That's okay. Maybe someday in the future we'll talk about you taking somebody out. But we'll leave that alone for now.
All right. I'll tell you guys off the air.
That's fine. And you know, maybe someday.
Maybe someday.
Maybe someday when we get enough listeners and we start having premium podcasts that we charge money for, then we'll go with the heavy duty stories.
Then maybe I'll tell my story.
Can we charge like $1,000?
We could. No one will buy it.
Ooh, speaking of, not really, but do you know what came out today? Kelly Clarkson, her new song, you can download for free.
Oh.
It's really good.
There's your free tip of the day.
Yeah.
Is she still alive?
Yes, she's a really big song right now with that country guy. Don't you want to stay here a little
while? I've
forgotten
all about her.
I love Kelly.
She's got a big song with that country guy.
She's no Kesha.
Oh, God.
But.
Oh, it wasn't my boyfriend. It was my housekeeper.
My housekeeper.
Oh, my God.
Oh, good God.
You have a housekeeper?
I'm that lazy.
Wow.
Mel is very busy. She doesn't have time to clean her house.
Can you send her over to my house?
Totally. Yeah, I'm not home very much, and so I do have I have some help. And you know, I'm a single woman, so I don't have a huge amount of expenses. I have the only bill I have is my mortgage. Everything else, my motorcycle, my car, everything's paid for. So, you know, not that I'm like a snob, but I am that lazy. And if you can afford,
oh, totally, I'm
you
not
know,
judging. I have my laundry done.
You are what the Republicans in Congress call a job creator.
Oh, yes.
You're stimulating the economy.
That's right.
To be fair, she is.
That's why I'm making the point.
And I'm a non-breeder, so I'm not, you know, I'm not bringing more mouths into the world to feed or to not have jobs. So, you know, I'm just doing my little part.
Aw.
Yeah, there you go. What's your housekeeper's first name?
Arlene.
Arlene?
And she's just wonderful. The only thing that's kind of funny about her is she's like my mom, so sometimes she scolds me or leaves me Ooh. Notes about stuff, and it's kind of cute.
Now, Arlene, is that her real name, or is that like because she doesn't want to go by Juanita?
That's so racist.
She's very, she's real Linda.
Oh, okay, there you go.
Ooh, I kind of work near there, sort of.
I kind of work near there, sort of. No, and for anybody who doesn't live in the Sacramento area, real Linda is basically rural.
Yes.
That's where the rural white poor live-ish.
Yeah, but they decided to merge their school district with very urban underperforming school, which I think is funny.
Well,
Twin Rivers, so they now have all these big issues.
Well, honestly, you know, you hear a lot of people complaining about black, white, black, white, black, white. It's really not black, white. It's really rich, poor. Because if you're white and you're poor, you have a lot of the same problems you do if you are African-American or Asian and poor.
Yeah.
I mean, the problems come from not having money and not having stability, they don't necessarily come from what race you are. Sometimes they do, but a lot of times that's not the case.
Especially in California where there's like 19 black people. People from the East Coast are always... No, people from the East Coast are always floored when you come here. there is a dramatic, because there's so many more Asians and Latinos than the East Coast. My coworker, when we both started at the same time, she came from Michigan. She literally drove around Sacramento trying to find a black person because she was convinced they didn't live here.
Oh, come on. It's not like Colorado.
Yeah.
No, but when you come from an area that's...
It was amazingly diverse for me when I came from Ohio. Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, it's very diverse. It's just you on the East Coast, traditionally, diversity has always been white and black people. And now occasionally Latinos, and there's like a token Asian in there. But out here, it's really, there's more diversity, but it's truly diverse. It's not just two. I just find it funny.
I maintain she just didn't know where to look.
Oh, she looked.
She didn't look in Oak Park. Because it only takes South one drive. Yeah, one drive through, and you'll see plenty of African Americans there.
Yeah.
And a few other places. Anyway, I'm going to wrap this up. I had a question, too.
Ooh, what's your question?
Montreal or Los Angeles is the question to me.
What does that mean?
Well, thankfully, I actually know this. Those are my two favorite cities that I've been to.
Los Angeles is one of your favorite cities?
It is.
And the whole world?
Well, that I've been to. And the answer to that is there is no place better on the planet than Montreal in the summertime. In the summertime, Montreal is fantastic. There's always festivals going on. The weather is usually pretty good. There's always stuff to do. And it's just a blast to be in Montreal in the summertime.
You could say the same thing about Milwaukee.
No, you could not.
No, you really could. There's festivals all the time. The weather's great. There's great food. It's fun.
Cheese.
Okay, Mel, I want you as a witness to this. This is not a gay hate crime. I'm going to take Larry out and beat him for comparing Montreal to Milwaukee.
Have you been to Milwaukee?
I have not.
In the summer, I would challenge our very large contingent of Milwaukee listeners to write in. It is an amazing place in the summer.
Well, and I'm not denigrating Milwaukee. I'm just saying Montreal is the best place on the planet in the summer. In the summer. Mm. Now... Once the weather changes and it's cold,
it's dark and cold Canada.
Dude, they built an entire underground city that they call it in Montreal. Now it's connected to the subway called the Metro system, and you can, if you live downtown in Montreal, you can leave your a building where you live, go into the underground city, you can go shopping, you can ride the Metro to where you work, and never go outside.
That is awesome.
So
it's like the mole men.
And it creepy. Is.
Well, and that's why in the winter, Montreal, not so awesome. L.A., on the other hand, I really like L.A. because unless the smog is really, really super bad, and I've never been there when it's been this bad, you can see the mountains or some hills. You can go to the beach. It's just a cool place to go. And there's stuff to do.
Yeah. I was just there last week for a whole week, and I have to say, every time I go there, I don't hate Los Angeles like some people do. But for me, the problem is it's so spread out and everything is far apart from each other. And I hate driving that much.
Right. And Montreal is the exact opposite. You can get most anywhere you want to go just by hopping on the subway and going there. So they're two completely divergently opposite places that I really, really like.
But you have to pick.
Well, in the summer.
And I don't think you can specify season of the year.
You have to
pick. It has to be a whole answer.
Then I'm going to have to go L.A.
Wow.
Just because I'm really, you know, I spent a lot of my life in, you know, 10, 15, 20 degree below zero weather. Ugh. And I've had about enough of that. So I will take the June gloom. I will take the mudslides if you're on a big side hill. And I will take the beaches and the mountains and the tourists. And I will go with L.A. if I'm forced to choose one or the other.
Wow.
So there you go. I'm not afraid to make the tough choices.
Good for you.
Could you claim like Calabasas? Because I could see claiming Calabasas as like your favorite city. No, it's nice.
Because the Kardashians live there?
No, because it's not, it's far away enough from LA. It's pretty and you don't have all the LA.
No, you've got the Kardashians,
where they live?
Yes.
Yeah.
And Howie Mandel.
God, okay.
That's what
I
have.
I do not like Calabasas anymore.
There you go. Anyway, there was a big uproar on Facebook a couple of days ago, and you guys probably saw this. The nerds were very, very upset.
Oh, I read that article.
Some chick who writes for Gizmodo, which is kind of a nerd blog.
Kinda?
Okay.
It is a nerd blog.
It's a nerd blog.
Which is the first interesting thing to point out in what she wrote.
Right, that's
who
why
she freaking works
it's
for.
It's true.
And that's why I did it. So... Anyway, and she starts this out. The title is My Brief OKCupid Affair with a World Champion Magic the Gathering Player. And she starts out right off the bat. She lays it out there. This story sounds mean. It's about a girl judging a boy because he's a nerd, like so many of us that she met on OkCupid. Oh, actually, somebody else wrote that. Sorry. But that's the point. Judging people on shallow stuff is human nature, and the magic and absurdity of online dating is how immediately and directly it throws that into relief. One person's magic is another person's fingernail biting, and no profile in the world is deep enough to account for that. So here's where the article actually begins. Earlier this month, I came home drunk and made an OkCupid profile. I think there's our first
That's
problem.
That's fantastic.
What the hell, I thought. I'm busy, I'm single, and everybody's doing it. Sure, I'd heard some stories, but what's the worst that could happen? Well, you could be raped and killed. Anyway, moving on.
Oh, my.
2 weeks into, well, said worst. 2 weeks into my online dating experiment, OkCupid had broken me down. It was like an online equivalent to hanging out alone in a dark, date-rapey bar. Every time I signed on...
I've never heard a bar, I'm sorry, described as date-rapey.
Well, you need to hang out with more straight chicks, I guess.
Yeah.
Oh, I hang out with a lot of straight chicks.
They do exist. Those date-rapey bars.
I was hit by a barrage of creepy messages. Open quote. Damned girl. You so foine, I would like very much for me to meet and marry and procreate. Or...
Aww.
How romantic.
Your legs do look strong. That's a nice compliment, isn't it?
What a come on.
Obviously, you take care of yourself. You work out. Those are strong looking legs.
You said come on.
That's like them's childbearing hips.
Sure. So when I saw an IM from a guy named John... that said, you should go out with me, smiley face. I was relieved. He seemed normal. I gave him my name. Google away, I said, and then dinner was ready and I signed off without remembering to do the same. So we met for a drink a week later, or later that week. John was thin and tall, dressed in a hedge fund uniform with pale skin and pierced ears. We started talking about normal stuff, family, work, college. And I told him my brother was a gamer, and then he casually mentioned that he played Magic the Gathering when he was younger. Actually, he paused, I'm the world champion.
Oh, no.
That's right. I laughed. Oh, that's a funny joke, I thought. This guy is funny. But the earnest look on his face told me he wasn't kidding. I gulped my beer and thought about Magic, that strategic collectible card game involving wizards and spells and other detailed geekery, a long-forgotten fad like Pogs or something. But before I could dig deeper, we had to go. John had brought tickets for us for the one-man show based on serial killer Jeffrey Dahmer's life story.
I love this guy.
I know. What's his number?
Not a particularly romantic evening. The next day, I Googled my date, and a wealth of information flowed into my browser.
She didn't Google him before?
No.
She said she forgot.
That's right. She forgot.
Dinner was ready.
Yeah, I forgot.
Right, because, and here's what happens when you don't prepare for things. See, if you want to be surprised, that's cool. Don't Google. But
that's true.
If you Google me, you're going to get this show. So go ahead and Google away, bitches. let's see. Where was it? Oh, yeah. Wikipedia page, competition videos, fanboy forums comparing him to Chuck Norris. The guy just isn't just some professional who dabbled in card games at a tender age. He's John motherfucking Finkel, the man who's so widely revered in the game of Magic that he's been immortalized in his own playing card. That's right. So she moves on. She's like, well, just like you're obligated to mention that you're divorced or have a kid in your online profile, shouldn't someone be required to disclose any indisputable geeky world championship titles?
No.
Maybe it was a long time ago. We met for round two later that week. At dinner, I got straight down to it. Did he still play? Yes. Strike one. How often? I'm preparing for a tournament at the moment. Strike two. Who did he hang out with? Well, I met all my best friends through Magic. Strike three. I smiled and nodded and listened. Eventually, I even felt a little bit bad. I didn't know shit about the game. Here was a guy who had dedicated a good chunk of his life to mastering Magic on a date with a girl who can barely play solitaire. This is what happens, I thought, when you leave things out of your online profile. How dare he?
I want to punch her.
I know. I later found out that John infiltrated his way into OkCupid dates with at least two other people I sort of know.
What does that mean, infiltrated? I hate her so much.
He asked them out.
Yeah, exactly.
Including two of my coworkers. Mothers, warn your daughters. This could happen to you.
She went on a second date with him. Right.
Well, she didn't...
Because she wanted to give him shit so she could write a fucking article right. And bag on him.
You think you've found a normal bearded guy with a job only to end up with sharing goat cheese with a guy who takes you a one-man show based on Jeffrey Dahmer's life story.
Which I think is freaking awesome and cool. by the way.
Well, and that's the thing. I think that is a better point of judgment on somebody that they go and go, all right, it's our first date. We're going to go to a show. What show are we going to go see? Oh, it's Jeffrey Dahmer's life story. Now, as somebody who's going to that, as a female is going to that, you're either going to be like you and you're like, yeah, okay, cool, really I can see it. Or you're going to be like, oh my God, this guy scares me. Mm. In which case, that's fine.
But it seemed to me like, you know, it's like saying I'm a banker. I'm really passionate about banking. All my friends I met through the bank, they're all bankers and their wives. And I hang out with bankers and we do bank stuff. Oh my God, he's a bank geek.
Yeah.
So banking's a little bit different than a whole game that's based on make-believe and cards.
Yes, it is. It's very different because Magic the Gathering is something very special.
You're both ridiculous.
and she goes on. What if it's a
professional gambler?
That's not even better. That's not better at all. Yeah. And she finishes, maybe I'm an okay Cupid asshole for calling it that way. Maybe
yes,
I'm shallow for not being able to
yes,
see past John's world title. I'll own that. But there's a larger point here, that judging people on shallow stuff is human nature. And one person's magic is another person's fingernail biting or sports obsession or verbal dick.
Well, I love that she can't get past his world title, opposed to being impressed by somebody that's passionate about anything, that they're a world champion in something.
Right, no, but I think there's a difference between, like, being impressed with someone and then wanting to spend time with that person.
I also would like to think, I don't know this guy, I don't know anything about him except for that he's a world champion.
You have champion a crush on
magic.
Him.
I kind of have a little bit of a crush on him, I'm not going to lie, because I think he sounds amazing and his ears are pierced, which I think is hot. But, you know, a lot of people are very passionate about things and could be world, you know, what's the, the flying tomato. He is passionate about snowboarding. Sean White.
He's an Olympic gold medalist.
He's an Olympic gold medalist. Do you think all he does is talk, live, eat, breathe? I think every once in a while he might go out for sushi. I think he might be able to do, talk, and have other things in his life. And I'm sure this guy can also do other things besides talk, be, and dork out.
Right.
It's not like he's some little hobbit troll that lives in his mom's basement. I mean, maybe he is, but I don't get the impression that he's some hobbit troll, you know, that's allergic to the sun, albino, that lives in his mom's basement. If he was just a dork, if she said, you know, I went out with him and he chewed with his mouth open and went every time he laughed, okay, but that's not what she's judging him on.
But the thing is, Sean White, that relationship wouldn't work if you thought snowboarding was just the worst idea ever.
Or skateboarding, because that's what he does when there's no snow. He's also a champion skateboarder.
He needs to cut his hair. Ugh, it really bothers me. No, I don't think we can judge her too strong, because a little bit of a self-confession. I once went on a date with a guy who was really great. Like, we totally hit it off. He was funny. He was really good looking. Like, thought I was great. I couldn't go out on a second date with him. And actually, I just stopped talking with him. I didn't respond to stuff. Because he had a Star Wars tattoo on his arm.
Nice. Oh,
I think it's fine to say, like, look, we don't have common interests. But I think the fact that she went to the trouble to write this douchey article and bag on him, I don't think there's any reason to bag on him. His interests are different from hers.
Well, I'm going to play devil's advocate for a minute.
Why do you always do this to me? I hate you so
well,
much.
Well, I'm not. I'm coming right down in the middle between the two of you. Because that's what my role is here.
I'm not entirely defending her. I'm just saying I think it's... I think
she's mean.
Oh, she is. Hmm. She is. But here's the point where I think she crossed the line is where she put his name in the article. And here's why. As a performer...
Oh, I think he's going to get so much...
Well, of course he is. But that's the point where it ceases to be a story about an anonymous person...
That's true.
...that you went out on a date with and had a time that you weren't really that thrilled with, that you're like, you know what? I'm going to turn this into... I mean, I turn stuff into stand-up material all the time. You take experiences and put them in for improv and stuff like that, and so does Larry, and so do I. And we use that on the show, too. You take your life experiences, and you will expound on them, and you will make them bigger, and you will, you know, tweak them up in certain points for entertainment things. If she's a writer, that's what she's looking to do, and the second date was probably just to go, wait a second, can a complete, what looks like the world's biggest nerd... be somebody that I could hang out with? And the answer is obviously no, but my guess is she had her mind made up before she went out, and at second date wasn't really a date, it was really more research for an article.
Yeah, fact gathering.
But she succeeded because the article blew up and we know who she is.
Well, I don't know who she is. I know who he is.
Well,
I don't know her byline.
Right. Well,
the only reason I've
already forgotten her name.
I never mentioned
her. You really
that.
Don't like her.
No.
I never mentioned her name. And the only place I ever saw her name was our friend Nick Pettigrew, who was the first angry nerd to post it. And among a grand massiveness of nerds who were angry at this chick, he he basically wrote something along the lines of fuck and then put her name and just she's a horrible human being.
Well, I think Nick is a really great example of he is. I mean, I think he would call himself a nerd. He's really passionate about video games and comic books. He goes to Comic-Con. However, he also happens to be one of the nicest, funniest, charming, and pretty easy on the eyes kind of a guy. You know, and he's just a good human being who also happens to be a nerd.
But I think the reverse can be true. I've definitely heard conversations. Okay, like with my friends who will go out with a guy that they think's really cool and they'll come back, you know, we'll talk about it later. Yeah, all I did was want to talk about sports. Like I have no interest in that. And like so
yeah, that goes back to what I said. I get it. If you don't have similar interests, you don't have similar interests.
But I think there's some things that are just so outside the realms of people's like you spend time doing that.
Right. And you know what? Honestly, if you switch the roles here, he's obviously a very smart guy. He's figured out there's obviously a strategy and a mental acumen to playing this Magic the Gathering. I have no idea how
to play
it.
I don't actually understand how they play it.
No, not a clue. And I'm not even going to get into it. Don't care.
It's along the lines of D&D.
Another thing.
Yeah, again. All I know is you've got like dice with multiple sides. Anyway, moving.
I dated gamers in college.
Oh. No kidding.
I'm not judging.
But if you took that same smart guy who reads and plays Magic the Gathering and loves Star Wars and does this, and he goes out on a date with a chick who does nothing but talk about the Real Housewives, I guarantee you that that guy is back bagging with his friends on that chick just as hard.
Sure.
Yeah.
Probably just where she shows a lack of class is that she says his name.
Right.
It would be more of a funny story. It was why I went out with this guy and listened to all the stuff that happened.
And if the focus was on just having the different interests, like somebody that you just can't even be in their world because you just can't even wrap your brain around it.
The article definitely was making fun of him, not making fun of the story.
Well, and I think as someone who's done a little online dating recently, after the divorce, you got to do what you got to do. And I've been out with a few women. I dated one for a couple of months, and that recently ended. And you meet some really, really nice people, but you also meet some really horrible people.
I went on an online date with a guy that asked the waitress out while we were on our date.
Nice. That is a boss move.
Yeah.
My friend that will go unnamed met a guy online. They talked for a little bit. They on her first date, like they go out to a restaurant. He invites her back to go home to his house.
Hey now.
She's like, okay, great. They go there. You know, they're just talking. He has a heart attack.
Oh, no.
It gets better. As, like, she realizes what's happening and the ambulance is there, his wife, who he still lives with in the house, comes home.
Well, she was probably working. She was working the late shift.
It was one of those things that, like, for a few days it was not funny because it was like, what the fuck's wrong with my life? But now it's just like.
Oh, it's a great story
Really? And that's so the woman is like, who are you? Why aren't you in a uniform? And she's like. My friend, who again will go unnamed, had no idea what to say, so she just kind of stood there and mumbled. And then the ambulance people asked them to go with her to the hospital, and she was scared; she couldn't do it.
Oh no, I don't blame her at all. But basically, when you're dating online, it's like going out to a bar, and you're just meeting random strangers. And you know what? A lot of them are going to be like I've talked to a lot of women who have had that same experience where they will get. Dozens upon dozens of responses every day, and it's from guys who can't string together a sentence or guys who will literally come out and go, hey, you want to go and screw?
The
last guy I dated, I actually met from a blog that I wrote about online dating.
How did that work out for you?
It lasted, I don't know, 8 or 9 months, actually. He turned out to be kind of an asshole.
We all do.
Yeah, it's what happens.
Please
I mean,
use
if he hadn't turned into an asshole, we'd still be together. I mean, I think that's the nature of relationships. I mean, it either works or it doesn't.
Right.
He turned out to be an extra crispy asshole. But I had written this article about, you know, spell check. Don't use the weird abbreviations. Don't write G-U-R-L for girl. Don't be...
Unless you're a gay boy.
Yeah.
Hey, girl!
Girl.
I like to go to the movies and I like to make out with boys.
So he wrote back and responded like he agreed. You shouldn't, you know, that he doesn't like the baggy pants and the sideways caps and the things that I also don't find attractive because I feel like maybe I'm too old even to be able to relate to people that dress like that because that's how the kids.
Is that how the kids dress?
Oh my!
Yeah,
and they listen to the hip hop.
I know.
Music.
I'm turning into my mother.
Do they get onto your lawn every now and then?
And I scream at them, "Get off my lawn!"
I was in a meeting today at work, and someone who's not that much older than me, we were talking about something, and she said, "Well, maybe we can put something on the Facebook."
Oh,
she,
no.
And then later she tried to defend. We went bowling today. It was like an all-day planning thing. And so we went bowling at the end.
Your tax dollars at work.
Yes. And so she kept saying, no. And I was like, why were you saying that? She's like, in my defense, that she just watched The Social Network. So she was thinking of The Social Network when she said it. And I said,
That's when I was in, here's how uncool I am and how old I'm getting. When I was in college, I took the sociology class. And when we were taking one of our exams, they had the word, and I'm going to spell the word. It said D-I-S-S-E-D.
Right.
That was a new word to me. I'd never heard the word.
Wow.
I went up and I asked my professor. I said, I don't remember this in any of the materials. He's like, it wasn't in the materials. Just common vernacular. Just a word. I was like, I do not know this word. So if I need to know the definition to answer the question, you're going to have to tell me. And he then humiliated me in front of the entire, like, 300-person lecture hall.
Yeah, that's right. He not only he didn't tell you what the definition was, he acted it out for you.
Yeah.
And you remember now, don't you?
Oh, yes. I learned dis.
There you go.
I said dissed when I read it to him in class. I didn't know.
Well, that'll happen. So hurricane hit the East Coast really, really bad in my home state of Vermont. And thankfully, my parents are in an area that wasn't really too hard. I mean, it rained a lot, but not a ton of flooding damage and stuff where they are. But like, I believe 268 roads and bridges in the state of Vermont have been destroyed or damaged.
Jeez.
The flooding is awful.
And it happened in New York in the Catskills. The same thing. Anywhere where they had the sort of rolling hills and river valleys sort of geography, and it rained and rained and rained, and it's been really wet there, they had a lot of flooding issues. And so roads washed away and stuff like that.
My best friend's basement in Philadelphia flooded.
Oh. Wow. That's not good.
No.
But
what makes me crazy, and this drives me bonkers, and so I work in disaster stuff sort of. What drives me crazy is that media drives me nuts because I feel like there's a lot of couch quarterbacking. What's it?
Monday morning quarterback.
Yes. Where they're like, oh, you know, people overreacted. They overreacted. Now, what's interesting is they didn't overreact. And my friend who used to, my friend and old boss who used to work for, it's called VOED. It's the group of all the organizations that respond to disasters, like Red Cross, all the faith-based groups, stuff like that. She wrote it really well on her Facebook wall. She was like, you know, she was like, should we really be saying we're overreacting when a storm that was large, because the storm was larger than the physical size of Europe, was headed towards the largest population centers in the East Coast and that aren't prepared for this level of disaster? She's like, we should be celebrating the fact that although it's still awful and there's still a lot of stuff going on, that the magnitude, that it wasn't what we said. Now, had we not done that and a storm did hit, all people would be saying is like, it's Katrina again. It's Katrina again. And makes me a little nuts. So that storm was nutty.
So she put that on the Facebook, did she?
She put that on the World Wide Web.
On the World Wide Web.
She must have faxed it into their office.
So speaking of blowing things up, a meteorologist from Washington, D.C. was doing a live shot. He was on the boardwalk in Ocean City, Maryland. And anybody in Sacramento knows if you're traveling in on from the west, you hit Highway 50, it says Ocean City, Maryland. That's on the other end.
And in Ocean City, Maryland, it says Sacramento, California.
Yeah, it's sort of a 69ing, if you will.
Oh, my.
Anyway, that was completely unnecessary and sexual. There you go. Anyway, so he was doing a live shot, and he's next to the seawall that they put in to protect from hurricanes and storm waters and stuff like that. And we'll put the video to this on the show extras page.
It's awesome.
It is.
It's weird.
He's standing there and you can't really see because it's at night, and you just see there's this foam coming up over the seawall. And
it reminded me of like when you go to the clubs and they have those foam parties.
Oh, you're showing your age a little bit. Yeah, no, totally. No.
So
did you wear bibs a lot?
You shut up.
So anyway, he's standing there for anybody who doesn't see it. He's standing there and he's doing a live shot with the Fox station in New York City, and they're talking about it. And he's like, there's this organic material that he's standing and it's flowing over. It's actually raw sewage.
It's like poo foam.
That collected in the water during the hurricane.
Poo foam. That's my favorite new word.
So they were. They ended up reporting that the Seafoam was the top trending topic in the DC region, and he had his own Facebook fan page, which had already amassed more than 2,800 likes.
The thing is, at the time that he was doing that, he had no idea what he was standing in.
No,
he said it was sandy and gritty.
It was sandy and gritty.
Tasted funny.
It didn't
Why
taste
is all this
good.
Corn in here?
Tastes good. So yeah, it's fantastic video. So. But anyway, the Facebook...
And it can render you sterile or something.
Well, it'll probably kill you early. But the Facebook fan page is Tucker the Foam Man on Fox 5 News.
Yes.
So he is, let's see. What is... Blah, 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 three. Okay. It can kill birds, Dr. Mark Siegel said. It has pollutants in it. It has bacteria in it. It has proteins in it. And prolonged exposure can even cause birth defects.
Awesome. Hold on. Was that doctor's name Dr. Siegel?
It was,
and he's talking about bird deaths. That in my head, I'm just imagining like a talking bird.
Well, it's not spelled seagull. It's seagull, like a Jew.
that makes me uncomfortable the way you said that.
Well, it is a Jewish name, and it's Mark with a C. So there you go. So we've got our thing with that guy. Poor guy. I mean, I will sympathize with him because I know reporters are trying to get that shot where they're in the middle of the action. But I always wonder. Are you going too far, dude? And I think this is a case where yes, he was.
I love that there's comments after the article, and I just like when people typo because I think people should spell check if they're going to put their stuff out there for the whole world to see.
Oh, you obviously don't know what a comment board's all about.
Yeah.
I love comment boards. I used to get a lot of material off of them. I also used to get a lot of material off of Craigslist postings. But this one says, Jesus, the guy was in raw sewage. Hope he took a bunch of shower and hope he doesn't get sick. A bunch of shower. Take a bunch of shower.
Well, I hope he takes a bunch of shower as well. At least that was a positive sentiment behind him.
Bunch of shower.
Bunch of shower.
I think it's funny how many TV weathermen are gay. It's like one of the gayest professions ever. Like, it really is.
Okay.
Is it in front of or behind hair stylists?
See, this is where it gets tricky. I feel as if proportionally, I know of more straight male hairstylists than I know of straight male meteorologists. Because not all of them are meteorologists, and my friends in that world would get upset. TV weather people and meteorologists. Like, where the town I grew up in, Columbus, Ohio, the joke was, in order to be a weatherman, you had to be gay. Because all, like, the three major channels, all three of them were gay. And it almost became like a competition to out-gay themselves. And no joke. So the guy in Channel 10, his name was Chuck something. He was dreamy. Him and his partner bought two houses in German Village, which was one of the gay neighborhoods. And they turned the middle into, like, this garden. And, like, he won some big national award. And the other channels wouldn't cover it because their gay people were bitter about it.
Why the gays be hating on everybody else that's gay? Why are you going to have
gay
on
gay? Oh, there's no hating. Oh, no. It's
gay
like,
on gay crime.
No, that's just gay drama. It's like you keep it in the family. Like, you know, you can call your sister a skanky-ass bitch, but if someone else does, you're going to go over there and slap them. Right?
Oh, yeah.
You can't talk about my people that way.
Wow.
Yeah, my brother was always like that. Very protective, but totally mean to me.
Exactly.
But not gay.
But not gay.
Okay. Is he a gay weatherman?
He's a gay weatherman.
My brother is a gay weatherman. Because
you threw your brother out there, and right. I'm like, your brother's not a weatherman, and as far
Nor
as
is
I know.
He gay.
Yeah.
And I would add the caveat, you either had to be gay, or if you wanted to be on a TV morning show and be a weatherman, you had to be a big, black, chubby man.
What about our local Mark Finan?
He's straight.
I thought.
At least my gaydar does not go off with him. I don't feel it's the same on the West Coast. I really don't, for whatever reason. In the Midwest and East Coast, for those people in the Midwest and East Coast, you know it's true.
Well, I know a bunch of TV weathermen, meteorologists, actually, all of them, and I don't know any that are openly. Well, actually, I know of one who's openly gay, but most of the TV meteorologists that I know personally, not gay. So there you go. I have a little inside information on. Some, but
you said the keyword being openly.
Yeah, well, I'm
and
not...
people define that word very interesting because it's amazing people who aren't out but really have no problem being at gay bars dancing with people.
Well, and I can't comment
state
to that.
Senators. I'm just saying.
Well, and since I don't go to gay bars, I can't really comment on that.
You
so.
Should. It's where all the straight single ladies are.
Well, I don't think they're going there looking for a straight guy.
No, but here's my thing. Literally, if straight men were smart, they would get a best friend that's a gay guy because they have access to lots of ladies, number one.
All right, Larry.
Number two, go to a gay bar because girls' guards are dramatically down. They're just there to have fun. And if you're a straight guy and you dance with them and you kind of hang out, like, I've seen this happen all the time. One, they're like, oh, cool, you're cool being here. Like, it says something about yourself that I think girls respond to. And if you don't freak out, like, oh, I'm straight. I just need, like, if you're just like, oh, yeah, well, you know, I'm straight. Like, they'll totally think you're cute. And you'll get so much more action. And gay men like to hook their friends up. So they'll be like, hey. So, like, if there was a hot lady friend and, like, you were going out with them, I'd be like, hey. I was like, you should go back to Nate's house tonight.
All right, Larry, we'll talk after the show.
The wingman. You should always have a gay wingman.
I agree. It's done. Totally true.
Done. I now have an action plan for September.
Nice.
On a total unrelated but kind of related segue, sure. I just wanted to say I've always had this sort of preconceived thing about celebrities. And over the weekend, we had a special guest for our improv show for Anti-Cooperation League.
Yes, you did.
And I was amazed. And I don't know what I expected, but I guess I expected him to be a dick. And I was amazed that Joe Carnahan showed up, was nice from the minute I met him to the minute he left.
You also kissed him, too, on stage.
Yeah, you did.
Yes, you did. She planted one right on him. Yep. And Jason, who sat in for you last week, then tried to pull the steal. He tried to pull the theft and kiss him after. That didn't go as well.
Understandable.
Joe was not down with that.
Did he write Shooting that movie?
Smoking Aces.
And Smoking Aces, too.
And he directed The A-Team.
Yeah. So.
A lot of stuff, actually. But he was amazingly nice, and he spent time, and he talked to everybody, and I did not mention to my boyfriend that I kissed him, but I did.
Hey, yeah, she did. Unsolicited.
Oh, yeah,
she's like,
yeah.
I'm going to make everybody jealous right now. And then she went up and planted one on him.
I have a thing for kissing celebrities. It's just a thing. I've kissed quite a few.
Mm.
Is that why maybe it's just because you're such a lowered, like you said, you expect all celebrities to be awful. So they actually are just an average nice person. They appear to be so amazing.
Yeah.
I've usually found the most people who are famous, with a couple of exceptions, Cameron Manheim, the meanest woman I've ever met. literally, she had someone stand between us at American Idol.
Nice.
She really did. She called someone over to have someone stand between us because I said hello to her. She didn't like it. But I usually find that most of those people are pretty nice. And if they're not, they're not going to be talking to normal people. Although I've always heard Jennifer Lopez is literally an ultimate diva.
Mm. I could see that.
That's very interesting. And I thought you had the funniest line of the show.
Really?
You did. And I saw most of the show. They were doing a scene, and it was a lot of the scenes revolved around, because it's stories from Joe Carnahan about being Joe Carnahan in certain situations. I think the story was somebody was playing themselves as Joe Carnahan hitting on you at a bar or something like that. And the line that they said was, I'm Joe Carnahan. I've got a big house in Fair Oaks. And you said, yeah, so does my mom. which was hilarious. It was perfectly delivered and hilarious. So I wanted to tell you that.
Thank you.
That was awesome.
It was a very fun show.
It was. The show after that I was in was not.
I really felt for you guys.
I'm not going to go into it, but it was not a good show. I was very angry after the show, and I'm over it now, but I'm not going to talk about it because I'll just get angry again. Anyway, speaking of things that will make people angry, Rick Perry, this one's for you. He signed his pledge on anti-gay marriage amendment. He has signed the pledge to back a federal constitutional amendment against gay marriage, a reversal from a month ago when the Texas governor said he so supported individual states' rights that he was fine with New York's approval of same-sex marriage. And I'll just briefly get into this. The pledge by the National Organization for Marriage,
which is a crackpot organization.
Or NOM.
Do you guys remember that those commercials? I'm sorry, they ran for a while. It was like, a storm is coming.
Yes.
And then they have, and a color, a rainbow of people of different creeds and religions is coming together to protect us. That was the best material for a comedian ever, because the amount of things that people made from that is hysterical.
So basically, he says, if elected, he will send a constitutional amendment defining marriage as the union of one man and one woman to the states for ratification, and appoint U.S. Supreme Court and federal judges who will, quote, reject the idea Our founding fathers inserted a right to gay marriage into our Constitution, end quote.
He Praise really forgot Jesus. Who's active in this country and who goes to the polls.
Well, he is overly catering to his base, and his base is evangelical Christians who are very much into that. Now, the problem is, if you really want to be president of the United States, you have to win some of the people in the middle over.
Yep.
And
who aren't bigots. You have right. to appeal to my mom. And my mom and dad are the quintessential swing voters. They're not loyal to any party. They're pretty – a couple like last year, their zip code was one of the ones that was targeted because it literally represented like they needed to win the zip code. And so they got like – they kept count of how many people came and canvassed them. It was something like 38 in a month or something. It was out of control. But like the average people aren't bigots. And what sucks is like in our political system's created, you have to appeal to a wing. I won't even say the base. You have to appeal to a very active minority of your party
sure.
in order so you can win. So you go as far crazy than you spend the entire regular campaign going against that. But I also to get on a little bit of a soapbox here, people will dismiss him as binged at crazy, which I think he is, in regards to this issue. But what's interesting to me is I know lots of gay friends that gave a significant amount of money and way, way too much time to a man that doesn't believe that marriage equality should exist. He doesn't believe in changing our Constitution, but Obama still doesn't believe that gay men and women should be provided the same rights as straight couples. And like, you know, that it just bothers me a little bit. Well, Dick Cheney does. Interesting enough, he supports federal gay marriage, which is very bizarre.
Well, he also supports torture and killing people.
He's crazy.
Too.
Oh, okay. On the Today Show this morning, did anyone see his interview?
No.
This is what, oh, and Christina Dominguez pointed this out, and I went reviewed it and I saw it. The Today Show ripped. They had these two women were holding posters that said "Investigate Cheney" and something else. The Today Show staffer ripped them from her hands because you know how the Today Show has like their audience outside.
Yeah.
And he was being interviewed. They were holding the signs and they didn't like them, so they ripped them out.
Well, was it the Today Show staff or was it Secret Service?
I'm guessing it was Today Show staff because Secret Service would never do that.
Well, I don't know.
I'd be surprised that the Today Show people would do that. Mm-hmm.
It was right in view of the window. It was like a second. And you don't know what else was going on. But like it was funny because I saw her post and I was like, wow.
Yeah. I mean, you as a TV entity, you kind of have to control a little bit what's going on your air behind you. Now, they choose to have a window to the street there, and it makes it a little bit more difficult. But it wouldn't surprise me if anybody did that. But, I mean, their whole thing is probably not – I mean, no one's going to accuse the Today Show or NBC News of being, you know, super in the corner of Dick Cheney. However, they did get an exclusive interview with the guy, which is somehow a big deal. And so they were probably looking to not have him irritated because he is in favor of torturing and killing people.
He's just a weird-looking man when he talks.
He's scary. He is legit scary. After we do this, I have a story. I have a story to tell you about a legit scary guy that I was alone in an office with in Montreal. But right now, before we get to that, it's time for our only segment on the show, and that of course is
cool.
Tool.
Whoa. So this week for cool or tool, our opening person is the world champion of Magic the Gathering.
Ugh.
The world champion, not the chick who wrote the article. The world champion. Is he cool or is he a tool? Mel?
Really? You have to ask?
Look, you keep complaining these are too hard.
This one's an easy one. Cool.
I'm not, the story does not factor in. If anyone says Magic the Gathering, I tend to go, what? I'm going to say tool.
Nice.
But lighthearted. I'm not judging him personally. I could not date someone that was a champion at Magic the Gathering. I'll put it out there.
I didn't say I would date him. I just don't think it makes him a tool.
You just have a hot 2-week affair with him.
It's true. You'd be in the back of the Jeffrey Dahmer story.
I'd go to a tournament holding up my sign.
They have tournaments?
Yeah.
He's a world champion. He has tournaments.
Seriously, there are... And I didn't watch any of them because I can't bring myself to do that. I have
a deck of Magic cards, by the way.
I have a life to lead. But there are like videos of him winning tournaments. It's crazy.
I don't even want to think
about
it.
He is like a deity in that little weird subculture of Magic the Gathering. You know, I'm going to go cool, and here's why.
Ugh, I lost.
Well, it's not really a loss. I'm going to go cool because even though he is a giant nerd, he is able to get dates with chicks, and they will go to see the Jeffrey Dahmer story with him.
It's true. He's got game.
If you can pull that off, he's showing up looking nice in a suit, looking well coiffed. So they're like, oh, he looks like he has money. So they'll go and see.
He does. He probably has endorsements.
Oh, I'm sure.
Oh, God.
So that's person number one. Person number two for Cooler Tool. How about that reporter getting all splashy in the raw sewage?
Oh, cool.
You think that guy's cool?
Yeah, he's not a tool. It wasn't intentional.
Okay. Mel?
I think it was. I say tool. I think he knew it was an opportunity, or his station knew it was an opportunity. Either way, he let himself be played and put into Seafoam, which how could you think that was a good idea?
He would say that.
Because he knew he'd get coverage, and he knew he'd blow up, and he did. So good for him, but I think it was sort of toolish.
Well, not only did he get coverage, he wasn't doing it with his own station in Washington, D.C. This was a live shot with the Fox station in New York. So this was a much, much bigger audience. This guy, I mean, yes, he's trying to do his job, and yes, he's trying to progress in his career.
But he's willing to have birth defects or...
Yeah, he's...
Maybe he's a gay meteorologist who doesn't have to worry about producing his own offspring.
Well, that's great, but when something that somebody mistakes for some other horrible disease befalls him at the age of, I don't know, 47 because he went swimming in raw sewage.
When his penis rots and falls off.
Oh, that would be really sad. Oh my God, we could start a charity for weathermen who've lost their penis because of job. That would be the best TV commercial. You know how they always have those like, did you work up asbestos? Call the law agency of blah, blah, blah. Were you a weatherman in sewage? Have you lost your penis?
My favorite is mesothelioma.
Ooh, oh, that's hard to say. You've listened to those commercials.
Yeah, they're on all the time. So
almost as much as those, because you can enter having a fabulous life and an exciting career of medical assisting.
It's true. You can. And in only 6 weeks, because that's what I want. When I go to the doctor's office, I want to know the people in his office have 6 solid weeks of training behind them when they're looking after my
Do
health.
Do you know how much those programs cost? The Kaplan program is like $63,000.
What?
Yeah.
That's where the student loan industry really is getting so close to examined. Those people graduate with massive debt, and their jobs pay like $28,000. But if your only alternative is working like, and I'm not making fun of people that work retail, but literally like not even manager level, but like is working retail making $9 an hour, a career sounds exciting.
Right. It's taking advantage of people who can least afford it. And that's how a lot of fortunes were made in this country. Yeah.
You really want to make their lives better. That's what I feel really bad about. These people are trying to make a better life for themselves. Those commercials make me angry.
Yeah. Yeah. And they're on during the
Maury Povich show, which is the best show on television.
It is fantastic.
You are the father.
You are not. I prefer when it's you're not the father, because I love it when the chicks are really surprised and like upset. And it's like, really? Really? You didn't have a clue? And every now and then they'll have one who's – they had one the other day who was on for her fifth testing. I mean, okay, if you can't narrow down the dad of your kids to the top –
That's impressive.
To a top three.
That's
then
talent.
You know what you are? You're a dirty, filthy whore.
That's very judgmental.
It is. And you know what? There needs to be more judging in this country. Mm-hmm. More judging. I'm in favor of it.
We're so kinder and gentler. We don't want to hurt anybody's feelings.
But come on. I mean, I'm giving
Things
you the...
Things happen. Maybe she was a law student who accidentally found her way to a gangbang and had sex with 19 guys.
You remember when I did this to you last
yes.
week, Mel? It's the what-if game. The what-if game that super liberal people like to play. We'll wrap up Cooler Tool with Rick Perry, who is not down with gay marriage.
Really tool
okay.
for lots of reasons. He also claims a lot of credit for the economic boom in Texas, which he should not, but that's besides the point. Tool.
Mel?
I feel like I could go easy for myself and say tool, because that seems like the obvious choice. But the honest answer is I don't know enough about him. I know anybody that doesn't support gay marriage is a tool in my book, so I'm going to go tool. But I don't know the rest of his sort of platform or beliefs, so I feel a little bit too stupid to give a really smart answer.
Do you know what I heard about him? In college, he went on a blind date with a girl that was really into Dungeons and Dragons, and he wrote a very satirical article about how dumb she was.
Tool!
Yes!
Here's what I know about Rick Perry, aside from that. Rick Perry went to Texas A&M University, which is not known as a
it's not a bad school, to be fair. It's like a top 100.
Well, it's not a bad school now. But it was never known as the greatest school ever. And our friend Rick Perry graduated with about a C average.
He was solid, like 2.1.
Yeah, he had a C.
He graduated. He at least went to some classes and graduated.
Yes, he did. He graduated near the bottom of his class. And
still graduate. Did you know Obama's grades? Oh, no, wait, because he's never released them. I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but...
I don't care. If you got a D at Harvard, you're smarter than a dude pulling a C at Texas A&M. So how about that? How about them apples? How about that? There, I went Goodwill Hunting on you. I went right back to Boston with that. What? I did it. I'm not afraid.
So you, Tool, or Cool?
Rick Perry's a tool. I mean, he is a freaking world-class, gigantic tool.
It was a bingo, a coverall. We all went Tool.
It is. It's kind of a pimp, a strong pimp hand move to go ahead and do that. But he went with that really early on. I mean, we're 14, 15 months out of the election. If he does get the nomination, he's going to bury that so far down, it's not going to be brought up, at least on his side. So he's already covered that. He got it out of the way early. And then the next thing is going to be why Obama is the black devil.
Which, okay, my political beliefs step aside. Obama's very defeatable in the next election. And the Republicans are doing their darnest to elect a candidate that's going to be fucking bat crazy. Like, really? Sorry. Well, I digress.
Yeah, I mean, they...
Although, could the media maybe... Like, I think she's crazy. Again, I don't think she should be a president. But literally, the media seems to hang on everything that Sarah Bachman does. And she's held to it. What's her name?
You just combined the two of them.
Sarah Palin.
Yeah, I did. Oh, my God. Wouldn't that be scary if they were, like, merged together? What's her name? Michelle Bachman?
Yeah.
They literally hold everything she does. And she's held to the standard. Again, I don't like her. But I do think she's a little bit. I feel like the media has it out for her a little bit. I'll say it. Again, I'm saying for the record, she's crazy. I wouldn't vote for her. I wouldn't support her. I would rather have Snooki as my president than her, which is saying a lot. But
there was a 13-year-old girl out of control on Maury the other day. You know who her hero is? Snooki. She had the bump in her hair. Just saying.
I watched, speaking of fun things, the question earlier at the beginning of the show, I did watch the True Hollywood Story of Snooki.
She already has a True Hollywood Story. I find that offensive.
Do you know
some
what
way.
She's worth? She's a very powerful brand right now.
Sure, she's a best-selling author.
She is. I went to Walgreens the other day. They have Jersey Shore talking pens. I almost bought them, and I don't even watch the Jersey Shore. I just like Snooki.
I watch the Jersey Shore, and they have the most fantastic episode on. Before the VMAs, they're going to repeat it Thursday.
Is that the one that they had a clip on one of those, Talk Soup, or one of those shows where the one guy smashed his head into a wall?
Yeah, he's like, the situation is like, you want to fight? You want to fight? And he's going down, slapping the floor, throwing his arms in the air. He really does look like an orangutan at the zoo. And he gets really, and he's like, slams his head and his hands into the wall. And then he falls down to the floor, and he's got a big red mark on his head. And he looks out of it, and the girls are like, Mike, this is scary. Look at me, Mike. This isn't funny anymore. And I'm like, I disagree completely. This is when it's really funny. But I'm like, come on. This guy was just going because he was fighting Ronnie, who's the big, really muscle guy. And I'm like, that is a guy move that scrawny guys who are afraid to fight do. You act really, really crazy in hopes that the bigger guy will think you're too crazy to fight with.
Yeah.
And later on in the show, he admitted that's what it was. His miscalculation, because he's like, I did that before with a guy like a few months ago, and I put my head through a sheetrock wall. Yeah, the apartment in Italy where they are for this season, it's made of cement.
Awesome.
So he cannot put his head.
I can't help but be slightly embarrassed when I think about, you know, other countries looking at what this country finds important and relevant.
Okay, they watch cricket, so fuck them. How about that? How about that?
More people in England watch the Kardashians than they do in America.
Yeah.
Ugh.
They're bigger there.
I'm embarrassed for all of us.
Well, I keep up with the Kardashians. Oh, I do. I need to know what's going on. So I don't.
I did see a little clip of them on a family vacation, and she lost her gazillion-dollar earring and cried.
$75,000 earring, sure.
She found it. It was on Talk Soup. Talk Soup. It was on the soup.
How did she find it?
Her sister found it. They looked at it.
In the ocean?
Yeah.
I don't think she actually lost it in the ocean.
Well, they were in the ocean, but it was off the back deck.
It wasn't super deep.
No.
And it wasn't in the water. I think it was a little, like, it was in the water?
It was in the water. I didn't think so. But it was sitting in, like, 5 feet of water, perfectly clear blue water, and it's a diamond A $75,000 diamond ring is a pretty sizable, or diamond earring is a pretty sizable thing. So they found it in like 5 minutes. But yeah, it's, you know why I keep up with the Kardashians? So I don't say things like the Facebook and diss it.
I hate you so much.
I just need to keep up, yo. I need to keep
up. I watch Hell's Kitchen. Doesn't that make me somewhat cool?
No, and even thinking that by watching it makes you cool actually makes you more uncool.
Damn it.
Sorry.
Oh, you're fighting the bad fight, Mel. I'm sorry. In Stockton this week, I know we got a lot of news. This is a local one for everybody. I like this one. We're going to go a couple minutes long, and that's fine. I don't care. This is a good story. I've got a couple good stories, and then we're going to wrap it. Stockton woman accused of punching her son's principal. Mother of a Stockton Elementary School student under arrest, this was a day or two ago, for allegedly assaulting her child's principal over a dress code violation. Dun, dun, dun!
That's a role model if there ever was one.
It's Stockton, which purely exists to make other cities feel better about themselves.
So, anyway, there's a new dress code at this school, and that's been kind of a debate over the past few years at schools. Do you institute dress codes to, you know, make kids more on an even playing field so you don't pick on the poor kid or the less stylish kid or the nerd who doesn't really know how to dress? Because, by the way, you can have a uniform thing, because we did at my high school, and we had a guy who's kind of a nerdy guy. He's probably making five times what I am now, but dude wore Pierre Cardin ties. So everybody made fun of him for wearing Pierre Cardin ties. So if you think that having a dress code is going to get rid of that, you're wrong. You're absolutely, totally wrong. I grew up in Vermont where it's 99% white. Kids will find a reason to pick on other kids. It doesn't have to be a black and white, rich and poor thing. Anyway, so there's a new dress code in place there. The kid shows up wearing a T-shirt with skulls on it. And the principal said, you can't wear that like that. So, okay. She didn't tell him to go home. She didn't tell him he had to change. She told him, look, we can do one of two things. You can turn your T-shirt inside out, or we can bring you to, I guess they have a closet or something with like spares for kids who forget or whatever. And anyway, the mom didn't like that. Police say that Pammy Gibbs, P-A-M-I, is accused of making references to ethnicity during the attack on the Fillmore Elementary principal Evangelina Ramos. Gibbs is white and Ramos is a Latina. The assistant superintendent, Dan Wright, said Gibbs became upset when the T-shirt, the whole thing. School counselor and assistant principal pulled Gibbs off Ramos, but Gibbs broke free and hit her again.
Hell yeah!
It was like Springer, for God's sake. Stockton Unified Police Chief Jim West, not Adam, Jim West, says Gibbs left school grounds, was arrested at her home 2 hours later.
Booked on
two felony charges of battery and criminal threats and three misdemeanors, including a hate crime.
That probably will get dropped because it doesn't really meet the criteria, probably.
Right. I mean, it was obviously over something else, but 29-year-old woman, and she's lovely, attacking the principal because she told Precious Snowflake to turn his skull T-shirt inside out.
I would cut a bitch if they made my son do that.
Well,
you lie.
So have you seen the picture of Pammy? She's
Larry just scared me for a second. Yeah, she's a monster. I thought he was serious for a second.
Stockton, nothing. I don't even pay attention anymore because everything bad happens there. It's a gross city. Sorry.
The reason I really pulled this, not only because it's ridiculous, it's because I know Larry hates Stockton more than life itself.
There's nothing redeeming about Stockton. All it is a cesspool. There's for a city that's very small, there's violence there, there's drugs there. People beat their kids. People drop their kids. It really just needs to go away.
Do they have sea foam? They have everything but the sea foam throwing everywhere. Oh, anyway, we're going to end on
it's
this.
It's like if you took a big city and got rid of, and you know how every big city is a bad neighborhood, like a ghetto area?
Just
you
kept
got
the
rid
ghetto.
Of every other area and just kept the ghetto. It's how they created Stockton. At one point, you know how there's that story about like one time there used to be this lake and all the birds came and then it froze and they flew away and took the lake? It's like that with the city. It's like that this big metropolis in Stockton. It's like where San Francisco originally was. All these birds came and laid on the buildings. It froze and they flew away and all they left was the ghetto.
You know what movie that story was in? Fried Green Tomatoes.
It was. I was also in Titanic.
Oh.
Because he was from Lake Chippewa Falls.
Oh,
I think that's where he was from.
To all our Stockton listeners.
Yeah, to our Stockton listener.
Doc, there's a shooting!
Get down! Get down and make sure you turn that shirt inside out. I promise I'd talk about Yosemite. Don't really have a lot of time to do that, but let me just say this about Yosemite National Park. Oh, my God. It is so big and so impressive that the first time you see it in person, I don't care how many pictures you've seen, it almost doesn't look real. It really doesn't. I mean, from the valley floor looking up at El Capitan and at Half Dome, or if you're up on Glacier Point looking across where you see the whole valley, which is an incredible vista, it's just unbelievable. So if you get a chance to go to Yosemite National Park, go ahead and do that. And national parks really not that expensive. It was $20. If you have like just a regular car, it's $20 for the car load. So if there's two people in your car, it's $20. If there's four people in your car, it's $20. So yeah, I mean, it's absolutely crazy, absolutely worth going to see. But just make sure you read all the signs when you're there, and don't climb out on the rocks like a jackass, and don't leave a bunch of food in your car because the bears will open your car like a can of tuna.
That's true.
They will.
Or if you want to see it and don't want to have to do too much outdoorsy things, fly between Sacramento and Los Angeles or Burbank on a very sunny, clear day, and you'll have a beautiful, beautiful view.
Larry and I saw the same thing, but I was from about 7,000 feet, and he was from 35,000.
I waved down.
He did. I didn't see.
It was beautiful. It was super clear. It was really
pretty. I feel the same way about the Grand Canyon, by the way. The first time I saw the Grand Canyon, it was like a painting. It was unbelievably beautiful.
So that was that. Another fan fell down at Rangers Ballpark in Texas.
I don't understand this. I mean, I don't go to a lot of sporting events, but what the hell?
Mix low risers with beer.
Right. Well, this one, he fell down some stairs.
So survival of the fittest.
Pretty much.
To be fair to this guy, stairs in a stadium are a little bit weird because they're not the same as the stairs at your house.
Which is why you go very slowly.
Right. They're shorter and they're not as high. So this, you don't have to step up or down as far, but if you step a little bit wrong, you will go past the next stair and like hit it midfoot. I've almost fallen down without being drunk at a stadium, but I haven't because I'm not drunk and I can collect myself. So this guy falls down at the stadium, and at the very bottom of this article, and I would have missed this because I didn't realize, earlier this year, there was a fan at a Rangers game. Josh Hamilton, left fielder, threw him a foul ball, and he fell to his death.
It was like the paramedic or something, right?
He was a firefighter.
Yeah.
And he fell to his death, which isn't funny, in front of his son, and which it's a really sad story.
He died there. He was awake. That's what's even scarier.
Yeah, he died in the ambulance on the way to the hospital. But here was the part that really blew my mind. That happened on July 6th. The Rangers have recently announced that they are going to be placing a statue of this guy and his son at the ballpark to honor him.
I think it's a little creepy for the son who's still alive.
Well, I think it's...
And what about the new guy? Now, every time somebody dies, do they get a statue?
Well, it's kind of bullshit for me. I mean, I understand they feel bad that this guy who was a firefighter died at the ballpark. But you know what? He didn't have to reach up that high. He could have just went, maybe I don't get that.
And a scholarship fund for his kid might have been a better idea.
It's already problematic, but they are mitigating their losses as a corporation that is worth almost $1 billion. The fact that one of their employees put one of their guests at risk and caused his death. They're going to do everything
possible. He didn't cause his death.
Yeah, they did. He put him in a situation that caused his death. He threw a ball up.
I mean,
to
just
him.
Being there, you could get beamed in the head. So just being in the ballpark, you're
right.
Taking a risk.
But the outfielder took a ball. He's the outfielder, right?
Yeah.
He took a ball and threw it up, and that action caused his death.
Well,
you could argue. Again, I'm looking at this pragmatically.
Right.
And tell any jury that is looking at a grieving wife that this organization, again, that's worth almost $1 billion collectively. they're going to do everything they can to try to be
right,
super awesome.
Right, but any sporting event you go to, there are a ton of disclaimers on the ticket.
Which don't really mean too much.
Except for the fact that you're probably not going to get... Now, the Rangers, I have no problem with the Rangers giving the family money and setting up a trust and doing all this other stuff.
Yeah.
But this is the same state where if you go to the other end of the state, there's the Alamo, where between 180 and 260 Texans fought and died valiantly against the invading Mexican army. How many statues are there there?
None, but Pee-wee's bike is in the basement.
Yeah, no statues there, but one guy falls down and dies, and he gets a statue.
So, I want to know, does this new guy get a statue?
Well, he didn't die. He just fell down.
Yeah, he didn't die.
Oh.
He didn't die. He just fell down
the
stairs.
Nice try, loser. No statue.
Yeah, you're still alive. No statue. And so I'm like, you know what, really? Do you have to? If you're in Texas, you're really forced to die a very public and ironic death, and then you get a statue.
I actually have thought I heard that that was a request of the family.
Well, then they're silly. You know, I don't mean to disrespect their loss, but a statue of dad who fell down and died there.
Because he had to have that ball and couldn't let it go.
Yeah. Here's a lesson. Kids will deal with disappointment. I've been going to baseball games from the time I was 12. Do you know how many foul balls I've gotten? Zero. Not one. Have I been disappointed? Sure. Have I gotten over it? Yes.
Has any professional player looked at you and threw a ball directly at
yes.
you?
Yes.
Did you catch it?
I caught it, but I kind of bobbled, and this lady came over and slapped it out of my hands and took it, and my boyfriend at the time did nothing.
Oh,
yeah.
It was, I'm going to mess up his name. Galarragos. He got cancer in his penis or something.
Oh, Andres Galarragos.
Yeah.
He had penis cancer? Or testicular cancer?
Maybe he had that.
Can you get penis cancer?
Sure.
Why not?
I don't know.
Why not?
Didn't that guy who was suing because they cut off his penis recently was mad because they
foreskin.
Did that? Foreskin. Yeah, because it was cancerous.
Right, in his foreskin. And
he wanted to keep his turtleneck.
He did. So anyway, I was just kind of irritated. I'm like, what? That's kind of an odd thing to go. We must have a statue for daddy who fell down. Look, your kids will get over disappointment. Let them experience. If your kid never experiences disappointment until they're out on their own, they are going to be spending a lot of time at the therapist or at the Safeway with a gun.
Well, and talk about what a weird thing to have to explain to people. Like, there's a statue of my dad over there. Really? What's it for? Well, this guy threw a baseball to my dad, and my dad had to have it, so he leaned over really far to catch it, and he fell and died.
Yeah, my dad died for me, so I wouldn't be disappointed.
Yeah.
My dad died, so I wouldn't be disappointed that I didn't get a ball.
How cynical you guys are about it.
No,
and you don't even know if the family could be requesting it.
Well, I'm not the one who brought that up. I'm just saying it's incredibly bad form to be doing it. And listen, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, the NBA's all-time leading scorer, is mad because he doesn't have a statue outside of Staples Center. And you know what? I'm with Kareem on this. Maybe, Kareem, if you fell down dying an ironic death when Kobe tried to throw you a ball, maybe they'd put up a statue for you. Oh, wait, it's not in Texas where everything is kind of fucked up. And that brings us back to Rick Perry. Fucked up. You know who sits at the Rangers games with Nolan Ryan, who runs the team now? Our former president, George W. Bush, who used to own the Rangers. Yeah.
Oh, I see him sometimes in the crowd.
He's there. You know how they did when he owned the team? Not well. Not well. They might have won the division a couple times. Either way. So that's almost where we're going to wrap it up. But it's time for what's pissing me off this week.
And don't forget to mention our email address so people will send us more questions because we love them. But no more gun questions, people. I'm a pacifist.
Yes. Here's before we...
I want love, romance, and sex questions next week.
Mel wants sex questions. Oh, I've got some sex questions for you, Mel. Yes, if you would like to ask us a question, you can email the show at natedarlingshow@rocketmail.com. Please do like us on Facebook, Nate Darling Show. And of course, subscribe to iTunes and write a review for us on iTunes, if you will. If you like,
yes, please.
If you like the show, just a couple of sentences. These guys are cool. I like them a lot. And tell a couple of friends. Spread the love around.
And thank you to Huge Entertainment, as always.
Yes, they Huge Entertainment. Like, you can like them on Facebook too. It's HUG Entertainment. They're the ones who provide the equipment, so
it looks like Hug, but it's huge.
It's spelled Hug, but it's pronounced Huge.
I imagine it's written in all caps.
It is written in all caps.
Because it's huge.
It is, and they've got a whole set. In fact, they're taking the equipment back tomorrow morning because they've got some event to do for some lucky person this weekend. So that's our shout-out to Huge Entertainment. All right. Anybody got any shows they want to plug before I go on to what's pissing me off this week? Got anything coming up? Got anything coming up?
Nope.
Nope. Okay, we got podcasts coming up. Well, you know what's pissing me off this week? Nerds.
Aye.
Nerds are pissing me off this week. And this is my whole thing. Nerds for generations, and by generations I mean going back to when we started having nerds, which would have been sometime around the computer revolution, sometime in the 70s. Nerds were always angry, and they were downtrodden, and they were beaten upon because mean jocks did terrible things to them, and they made them feel bad, and they made them feel less than. And first of all, the best piece of advice that anybody ever gave me, I went to a Catholic school, and this was about junior high time, and we had a nun, and some of the kids were like, "Sister, you make us feel guilty about things all the time. That's not right." And she said, "Listen, I can't make you feel anything. I can't make you feel guilty. If you feel guilty, that's what you're accepting upon yourself." So nerds, all of that inferiority is stuff that you have accepted upon yourself for however long it might have been. And I know that a lot of people are tormented with this for various reasons, but to then turn around and get all nerd ragey when someone goes, "Hey, you know what? Somebody like that, I don't happen to like," because they will turn around and do the same thing to somebody who is a jock, somebody who likes going to sporting events and doing the things that they don't like to do. They will pull the exact same thing and be completely hypocritical about it. Now, not every single nerd will do this, but they start to get, I start to see things like, "You know what? The nerds won. The nerds won." No, the nerds didn't win. Yes, the tech industry boomed, and it did very well, and the nerds designed the computers that we all use. But here's the other thing you did, nerds. You made the computers so simple that everybody can use them. You don't have to be a nerd. That's what Steve Jobs gave to the world. We can just drag stuff and move it around, and it's simple. And even a person who is older and didn't operate a computer until they were really old can get around on a computer now. You don't need to know DOS. You don't need to know any of this stuff. You don't need to be a nerd to use technology. You've been hoisted on your own petard, nerds. That's what's happened to you. And you're angry about it. Instead of just reveling in the fact that, look at what we've done. We've done great things. We should be appreciated for what we've done. And the fact that you don't realize it, I feel bad for you. And some people are like that, but I've seen way too much nerd rage where it's like, "No, you don't get it. You're a jerk. You're a blah, 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 blah. We won. We won. We won." If you're yelling "we won" and you're pointing your finger, you know what? You didn't win. You really didn't win. And it shouldn't even be a war.
I don't know where you are, but I've never seen nerds do that.
I'm on Facebook. On Facebook, on message boards, on the end of that article. That article from Gizmodo was one of the biggest nerd rage things I've seen in a while. And I know what it came from. It came from the point when these guys were, and some gals were, at that point of puberty where they were awkward like virtually everybody is. And this article brought them back to that point where they were a scared 12-year-old who didn't know what to do, and they just wanted to be accepted, and they couldn't be accepted. And they went back to that place instead of going, "You know what? I'm an adult, and I'm smarter, I'm better, and I don't need the approval of some crazy bitch who just wrote this weird article." But instead it turned into a high school-filled hate rage thing. And instead of just dismissing her from being ignorant and dismissive of somebody just because he happens to do a game. So that's why nerds are pissing me off this week. You're better than that. I expect more of nerds. I really do. Okay, fine. Sit there and be silent. I expect more of nerds.
My only comment, as somebody who was picked on and bullied as being uncool and nerdy and weird and whatever, when I listened to that rant, what my 12-year-old nerd self who got bullied and picked on incessantly heard was, "You are somebody that was always a pretty cool jock, and you just can't even understand the experience, maybe."
If you think that people... Well, here's the other thing. If you think people who were jocks, everybody at 12, 13, 14 years old is incredibly uncomfortable in their own body.
it's different. I mean, I get it. And we all went through puberty and it was awkward. But when I think back, trust me, the girls that were super cute, super popular, and super cheerleaders, I don't care how fucking awkward they were, they never shared my experience.
No.
Okay?
And you didn't.
And they're still very beautiful and they're still very popular because we're not to that age where everyone's falling apart. Yeah, we all look pretty much the same. And I don't, you know, maybe they were fucking awkward, but they were fucking awkward as the prom queen and the homecoming queen. And they had more friends and more house parties and more shit than I ever did. And I don't care if they were fucking awkward because I think it's a totally different experience.
Right. And what I'm saying is if you're 12 years old or you're 15 years old or 16 years old, I'm going to borrow a phrase from the gays, Larry, if it's okay. It gets better as an adult. And if you're.
It does. But that's how I do feel like. I like that. I mean, I do think we won, you know. I think the underdogs did come out on top, and I think they should rejoice in that, and I think they should fucking put their hands in the air.
There's a difference between being proud of what you've done and trying to drag other people down. And that's kind of what it
In the article, she was the one bringing people down. They were just saying she was wrong and crazy and standing up for each other. And I think there's a real pride now in being a nerd and being an underdog. And I'm proud of that. And I'm proud that the people that are the nerds and the underdogs are finally standing up for themselves and saying, fuck you, I'm smarter, I'm better, you work for me, so suck it.
If you've won, you're no longer the underdog, are you?
Fine, good.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
No, because it's the same argument. And, like, It's the same argument of women, even though they make up a majority of the population, are considered a minority because they don't have the same power as a group. So, like, I think people who have been oppressed have every right to be angry and give it back. And I still don't see, like, this whole, like, nerd, like, I don't think internet message boards are, like...
Larry, you got to go where the nerds are.
I think that it's great. I think if you've ever been put down by people, you have every right to celebrate... owning the fact that you are excited of who you are.
Yeah, I love that I'm more successful than a lot of those girls that tortured me.
Yeah, and I'm sure a lot of them are would switch places with you now in a moment.
Oh, yeah.
Because they peaked at 16 or 17 or 18 because they never looked ahead.
I don't understand why you're so angry about it.
I'm angry at nerds because I like you...
Nick, I hope Nick Pettigrew is listening.
No.
We want to hear your thoughts.
No, and you know what? I think of Nick when I say this because Nick was very angry. He was one of the more angry people that is one of my friends on Facebook. He was angry about it. And I'm not mad at Nick personally. I'm just saying as a group, there are let me find my proper frame of thought here. If you are that angry at somebody who is that ignorant, she's not worth
it's
being
not
that
her.
Angry.
They're angry at people who've repeatedly told them that they're nothing.
So they've taken out their inner 13-year-old is what you're saying.
Everybody does that.
Yeah.
Everybody speaks out about things that they find horrible and unjust. And just because it's this particular group, I mean, if somebody was raped and all the women were speaking out about, good, I hope that she did bite the guy's penis off. You know, then would it be like fucking bitches are all crazy and angry and why are they so hateful and why can't they just take a self-defense class?
So are you equating the lady who didn't like the Magic the Gathering champion with the lady who cut off her husband's penis and threw in the garbage disposal? Because that's where that went.
I feel like I think the argument is taking the same direction. It's like if people speak out, I mean, people speak out about everything and different groups speak out about all different things. And I don't think it's some blind rage. I think this affected people, a certain group of people emotionally, just like certain people that are misogynistic a-holes thought the lady that bit off the guy's penis or cut it off or whatever and put it in the disposal was some crazy bitch. And
okay, Mel, I'm going to stop you right there. Every guy thinks that
okay,
the lady
and that was
cut
a crazy
off...
bitch move. I'm not saying it wasn't. But, you know, then people would say, you know, whatever, the same angry things and people would be just as rageful about that. I think people get heated up about what matters to them, and this mattered to this population of people, and I think they had a right to speak out, and I don't think it was blind rage. I think this was their thing that they spoke up about.
I disagree, and I think they're better than that. Honest to God, if you're a nerd, you're smarter than these other people, you've quote-unquote won, just dismiss them. Just dismiss them. And I don't get the same thing. And I saw
it's a social age. Everybody's social media. Everybody's responding to everything about everything. I mean, So they're better than that, so they shouldn't comment? Like, they can comment just like anybody else comments about anything else they want to. Hell, somebody said the guy should take lots of shower.
Well, he was bathing in seafoam.
Everybody comments about something. I don't understand, I guess, why you're so angry that these people comment about this.
I'm just frustrated with nerd rage. You've all won. Right. If you've won, you've won. Take your nerd foot off the throat of the pretty girl. I don't even know if she's a pretty girl. She may just be a bitch. We don't know. I don't know her. I'm certainly not going to mention her name. Mel's angry with me now.
It's just weird. Like, yeah.
Yeah, I guess I just don't understand.
You're not allowed to be angry at nerds. I feel like Ted McGinley at the end of that movie. Oh, my God. I've hurt the nerd feelings. I'm sorry, nerds.
Where's Ogre?
I like nerds. I'm just saying dial it back a little bit. Dial it back. Right? Let a little of this shit roll off your back. Because I will tell you this. If people pick on you and you show that it really bothers you, it's only going to make it worse. It does. That's what bullies do. So people like this are just going to see it more and more and do it more and more because they're getting a rise out of you.
I don't know. I got sick of turning the other cheek and being better than that. I finally started punching people back in the face.
And then you got a gun.
And then I got a gun.
And that's where we're going to leave it right there. Because there's no resolution to this, Mel. We're just going to have to agree to coexist.
Amen, brother.
But not with a coexist bumper sticker, because that just means you can't drive the car. There we go. So Larry looks exhausted.
I had to go.
Larry looks exhausted. So we're going to wrap it there, everybody. Thanks for listening for my very tired-looking friend, Larry. And my very angry-looking friend, Mel.
Murr.
I'm Nate. Have a good week. We'll see you next week.
Bye.
Bye.
Love you, nerds.